here. But it was a message of encouragement, and I was praying about what to share with you guys today. And I think I wanted to remind us some truth about this this passage, and I hope it will help you guys during this time. And Mark 4 is I entitled the message "Christ in the Midst of Our Storms." And sometimes we face storms, and those storms can be very big, and sometimes they will make us wonder if God is with us. And I want us to see that in the middle of a storm, we must see God in the midst of that storm and see how He is working, how He's working to make us pass through that storm, not in the same way that we came in the storm, but when we go out of the storm, we will be better. And this is why storms come in our life. Storms in our life are not just there for the purpose to make our life difficult, but they are there for a purpose. And the purpose is that Christ be magnified in our eyes. And this is what we will see today in this passage. And so we will start in Mark chapter 4 and verse 25, 35, excuse me, 35 to 41. This is what the word of God said. And the same day, when the even was come, he said unto them, "Let us pass over unto the other side." And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and they were also with him as the little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the wave beat into the ship. I always pronounce sheep. Ship. Into the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the wave beat into the ships so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ships, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there were a great calm. And he said unto them, "Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, "What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" We found this account of the disciples going through a major storm in three of the Gospels. We have Matthew 8, we have Luke 8, and here in Mark 4. But we see that it is the same story, and we have some little variation. We will see that Matthew will say something that Luke didn't say. But all of that, when we put it together, it teaches us many truths about ourselves first, and also about our reaction when we are going through a storm, when we are going through difficulties in our life. But more importantly, it teaches us about a loving, caring master who is Christ our Lord. Sometimes when we see this passage, we are focused on his power to calm the wind, and we don't see the fact that he is loving and caring. Because remember, the disciple questioned his care, and because they questioned his care, he rose up and he calmed the sea to teach them that not only he cares, but he loves them deeply to not let them be hurt. Storms are a part of our life. We live in a fallen world, marred by sin and its consequences. Sickness, even, is a consequence of this fallen world. Many of us have gone through storms. Some are even facing storm right now as we are speaking, wondering where is the Lord? And for others, I can assure you, maybe one day you will face a storm. But something is certain, and this is the good news that the Lord wants us to know in the midst of our storm. He was, he is, and he will be with us in the midst of our storm. Christ will be with us. We must engrave this in our heart. We must cling to that truth. The reality of the storm, it is not because the reality of the storm that is important, but our attitude in the midst of that storm. The reality is that when storms come in our life, they shatter our false pretense of righteousness, of good appearance, and they will reveal the core of our being, our sinful nature, our doubts, our anger sometimes. But it's revealed to us also in the midst of all of that, God in a new light. It revealed to us God in a new light. I want to consider, first of all, today, the reality of the storm. Verse 35 to 37 teaches us about the reality of the storm. We see here that it was at the end of a busy day. It was a busy day of ministry with many miracles. And the Lord gave a command, and he said to his disciples, "Let us go to the other side." And they obeyed, not knowing what will be ahead. Sure enough, the disciple was caught in a sudden and violent storm in the midst of a sea while obeying the commands of God. So I want two truths to be considered at this point concerning the reality of the storm. The first thing is that obeying to God's command does not prevent us from facing storms or tribulation. Nor do storms and tribulation the result of a disobedience or a lack of following God's will. But we must be always willing to ask ourselves, what is God's purpose in the midst of the storm? What God is trying to accomplish through the storm, through these trials? This is a question that we have to ask ourselves. Sometimes we think that if we are going through a storm, it must be because we have disobeyed. No, it's not always the. It was. It was. It. It. It is not always like that. Sometimes it's just something that God allows for us to teach us something. Matthew Arris Henry said this: "Many will be content to go the land way to heaven, and." Or stand still or go back rather than venturing upon a dangerous sea. But those who would rest with Christ hereafter must follow him wherever he leads them." into a ship or into a prison, well, as well as into a palace. So that what he's telling us is that because we want to follow Christ, we must be willing to follow him where he leads us. Sometimes he leads us into a prison cell. Remember Paul when he was going to Jerusalem, they told him, "Don't go there. You will be bound and put to jail." He went. He told them, "Don't make my spirit be sorrowful." He will go because he knew that it is God's will, and it was God who was leading him to the cell. Some can be trying, so trial also in our life. They can be very trying. We often think that the presence of trial or obstacle are the sign of not being in God's will. But if we examine the Bible and church history, we will see that many great revival and work performed by God took place in the midst of trial or through trials. In 1 Corinthians 6, 5-9, Paul was talking to the Corinthians. And he said this, "Now I will come to you when I pass through Macedonia, for I am passing through Macedonia. And it may be that I will remain or even spend the winter with you, that you may send me on my journey wherever I go, for I do not wish to see you now on the way, but I hope to stay a while with you, if the Lord permits, but I will tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries." Sometimes we can have a great and effective door, but there will be adversaries. There will be trials. That does not mean that we are not in God's will. That means we are in God's will and that we are doing the best job, but we have an adversary who is fighting against us. The second truth about the reality of the storm is that the presence of God, that of Christ, does not prevent us from going through storm or the fire of trial and tribulation. I think when you see the prosperity gospel, they will tell you that because you have Christ, you should not suffer. Because Christ is with you, you will have a good life, a blissful life. But that's not the truth. Here we see Christ is with the disciples. He's the master of the storm. He can just wake up and speak, and the storm will be calm. But he is the Lord of creation. Even the seas obey him. So the creation should be still at this time because the Lord of the creation was passing through. But the sea was unraveling. And that means that sometimes we must remember that it's not because we are facing a trial that it means that Christ is not with us. He is with us. The three Hebrew men in Babylon, when they were in the fire of the furnace, God was with them in the fire. He didn't quench the fire. He could have quenched the fire. But he chose to keep them alive in the midst of the fire. God does not always deliver us from the storm or the trials. Sometimes He does. And that is his sovereign will. Sometimes he delivers us from the trials. But sometimes, for a reason that only him knows, he keeps us moving through the storm. He keeps us moving through the trial. But one thing is true, and we must and must be the subject of our praises. He has promised us to be with us. And his promises are true. God does not fail us. He will be with us, even in the midst of our trials. So we see that storms are a reality of our life. Trials are a reality of our life. We live in a fallen world. But I want us to see, secondly, the responses to a storm. When storms come, there is many responses. Here we see two of them. In the midst of a storm, there is always many responses. And this is without exception. You have two people, two kind of people. So who will be who will be fearful and those who will be calm. I want us to see, first of all, the master peaceful rest. In verse 38, this is what he said. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. Here we are in the midst of a raging storm. And the master is asleep on a pillow. You know, if someone is asleep, like in, like he's sit down and he was just like doing this, it's not, it's, we say, yeah, that's normal. He's with us, but he's trying to fight this. Yes. But when he's asleep and his head on a pillow, that's the expression of someone who is in a peaceful mind, someone who has a peace of mind. Isn't it true that when our life is upside down, shaken by a storm, it seems that the Lord, our Master, is in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. It seems that sometimes that we are going through a storm, we don't see our Lord in the middle of the storm. But he's teaching us something very important. In the midst of the storm, the best reaction is not to panic, but to dwell in the peace that surpasses all understanding, the peace of God. If the master is at peace, why worry? Why worry? So Psalm 4, 7 to 8 said this, verse 7 to 8, thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn and their wine increases. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Those who can lay their head upon a pillow of a clear conscience may sleep quietly and sweetly in the midst of a storm. This is Matthew Henry who said this. So a question for us this morning. What can it take to steal our peace? Is it a sickness or a trial? Maybe death. Maybe walk sometimes. We must remember that Christ is with us.
And he is not afraid. He is not, I'm fearful. So we can rest on him and on his peace. But we see another reaction, the disciple fearful unrest. They said in verse 38, and they said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? They were fearful, busy trying to fix the effect of the storm. They were trying to find temporary means to calm the storm. In my head, every time that I read this, in my head, the scenario go like this. Peter is over there jumping and giving orders, and John is over, is working, and everyone is trying to do something. But the water is keep coming. And in the middle of that, Jesus is asleep. I don't know if he was wet or not, but he was asleep. But the disciple was busy running around instead of calling to the Lord. It's funny that every time that we find ourselves in a storm, we always run around trying to fix the effects of the storms. Instead of dealing with the storm, we consider all solutions except the remedy to the storm, Christ. We will do everything in our power. We will try to do everything, and we resort to the solution at last. Prayer is always the last thing that we, instead of doing it first. Two lessons for us. When we go through a storm, instead of trying to figure out by ourselves, let us cry to the Lord for help. If they didn't cry to the Lord, they will still be on the storm because Jesus will still be asleep. Prayer must be our first response to a storm. I think that sometimes we go through storm and we spend much time in those storms because we keep silent out of pride or out of ignorance. It is never wrong to ask for help. And the Lord our God indeed have asked us to ask for help. So it is not wrong. James 4:2 said, ye have not because ye ask not. And Matthew 7 said, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Sometimes it's because of lack of prayer that we spend much time. So sometimes it's not. Sometimes we pray, but the Lord, in His sovereign act, He said, it's not yet the time. You have to go through the fire of the refiner. So when you come through, you will be pure. Sometimes it's what the Lord is doing. But the second lesson is this. It is easy to question God's character when we go through storms. You see, the disciple was questioning if God cares. Master, do you not care that we are perishing? I have often questioned myself, how did they ask often ask this question. How did they ask this question after all they have seen? The day. As soon as they was going through that storm, started questioning the goodness of their Lord. But I must confess that I have often myself asked the same Do you remember the people of Israel when they were in front of the sea, the Red Sea, and also when they were in at Kadesh Barnea in number 14, when the 12 spies came, they said this in number 14. All the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said that if only we had died in the land of Egypt, in the land of slavery, or if only we have died in the wilderness, why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? They were saying that the Lord was evil. He was so evil that he brought them back from their suffering, a lesser suffering, for a greater suffering. Sometimes we can think like that. When we go through, but we must remember that God will never forsake us, and He loves us too much to not care. So, a question for us today: are you finding yourself asking the same question? Master, do you care? I want to suggest you an answer. We found it in an old hymn. Does Jesus care? He said this: oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. He cares. 1 Peter 5:7 said, casting all your care upon him, for he cared for you. Our Lord cares. Loves us in a love that surpasses all understanding. And it is because of that love that he gave his only begotten Son. I want to finish by with this third point. The revelation of the master of the storm. Verse 39 to 40 is telling us the revelation of the master. He reveals himself through his intervention. He woke up and he intervened. Peace be still. By his word, three words, he calms the sea and the wind, and they were calm. He is the master of the sea, and even the wind obeys his voice. Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? It's true that our fear and our faith are related. The greater is our fear, the smallest is our faith. And the greatest is our sorrow. But the greater is our faith, the least fearful we are, and the storm seem less important. Fear is a danger. And can make us question the very character of God. Carest thou not that we perish? So when we are in our storm, let us cry to the master of the storm, not in fear or in doubt, but with a heart full of faith. And let us watch him, hear our voice, and say to the storm, "Peace be still. Peace be still." But the second thing that we see here is that he revealed himself also in a new light to the disciple. See what the disciple says, and they feared exceedingly and said one to another, "What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" He did many miracles before that. They know him as the one who fed over 5,000 people, the one who have power over sickness. They knew this part of him. But through this storm, he revealed himself to them as the one who have power over creation, the one who create everything. And therefore, they can trust him in for their daily needs and also in the midst of their trials. When he fed the 5,000, he was revealing to them that they can trust him for their daily need. He can meet their daily needs. And through this sermon, he was teaching them to trust him when they are going through trials. He's still there with them to help them go through those trials. Louisa M. R. Steed, born in England in 1850, was a young girl. She experienced a strong desire to become a missionary. At around 20 years old, she immigrated to America and resided in Cincinnati, Ohio, for some time. While attending a camp meeting in Urbana, Ohio, her calling for missions intensified. However, her ambition to serve in China were hindered by her frail health. On a summer day around 1880, Louisa and her husband George took their younger daughter Lily to Long Island Sound for a picnic outing. While enjoying their day together by the seashore, they were suddenly alerted by a cry for help from a younger boy struggling against the tide offshore. Without hesitating, Lisa's husband George plunged into the water in an attempt to save the boy. But unfortunately, both drowned as Louisa and Lily watched helplessly from the shore, their world shattered before their eyes. Despair threatened to engulf them after experiencing the terrible loss of their husband and father. In those darkest moments, following loss and grief so profound. Luisa turned to the one constant in her life, the Savior Jesus Christ. And out of the terrible circumstances, those terrible circumstances, was born a hymn known as "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus," a beacon of hope. As Luisa Stead poured out her heart through prayer and tears, a divine inspiration began to stir within her soul. It was then that the refrain for his hymn was born. "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his words, just to rest upon his promises, and to know, thus said the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him all and all. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace, trust him." Through those verses, Luisa expressed her complete reliance on God's promises and found peace and solace in trusting the Savior who had carried her through every trials. The hymn became a beacon of hope for Luisa and Lily as they navigated their grief together. Dear friend, through the trial of her life, Luisa discovered a new revelation of his Lord, precious Jesus, who cares. The Lord in whom she can rely and the God she can trust to lead her through every moment of her life and to meet each need of her life. Dear friend, we can trust our Lord in time of goodness, in time of joy, as well as in time of trials, because he cares. He cares. So as we are going through this life and through our weekend, our week, I want us to remember that storms are a reality in our world. We will often face them. Small or big, they can bring a great deal of stress and shake our faith. However, when they do come, let us not be weary. Let us not count in our own strength, but let us cry to the master of the song with a heart full of faith, not doubting of his care, but fully persuaded of his eternal and unwavering love and kindness. His love is an eternal love and an unwavering love. We can rest, dear friend, on the fact that in a moment, our Lord can just say these three words: peace, be still, and the storm will be no more. Therefore, as we are going, and sometimes circumstances can cry to us or scream in our ears, will your anchor hold in the storm's life? When the clouds unfold their wings of strife, when the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain? We can therefore reply with a heart full of assurance. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows rolls. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm, deep in the Savior's love. Rest even in the midst of storms. Let us reign. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for everything you have done in our life. Thank you for reminding us again this truth. This truth that you are with us, even in the midst of our storm, that you love us and you will not let us be destroyed by the storm. But through the storm, and you have a purpose. Help us, O Lord, to remember that purpose. To cling to our dear precious Jesus. Oh, it is so sweet to trust in Him. Thank you for everything that you have done in our life. Be with us for the rest of this journey and for the rest of this day and the rest of our life. In the name of Jesus, I have prayed. Amen.